Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We started out this week by talking about how all of us are lost. It's not some of us that are lost. We're all lost. We start out that way. And we said that Jesus compared us to lost sheep, animals that are not clever. They don't have good vision, but they are still loved by their shepherd. We said that Jesus loves us. We talked about how some people are lost like a lost coin, misplaced by others, going through experiences that make God seem hard to trust. And yet, God still loves us. We talked about how all of us are like lost children who, in some cases, rebel against the Father by trying to get as far away from home as we can and do our own thing, and others who faithfully follow the rules, but not out of love, just because they want to try and control the Father, feeling the whole time that they are not getting what they deserve. And what we deserve is God's wrath, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the fact that he's about to die for them, and then after the resurrection, 40 days later, he's going to ascend to the Father. They don't understand what's going on, even though he's been telling them. And so Jesus says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is God's word. Father, help us to understand and believe what you say. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up hearing the good news. I grew up believing that it was true. But I started my life behaving as if it wasn't. Oh, I don't mean by going out and robbing banks or dealing drugs or something else that would be somehow notorious. But basically, I wanted what I wanted. My favorite word as a two-year-old was mine. Mine shoes. Mine train. Mine. I wanted what was mine. And I learned how to get it. In many cases, it was by good behavior. My dad was a pastor, and I often accompanied him to visit with people in their homes. And I was told I must never ask for candy or other treats. And so I learned not to ask verbally, but if there was a candy dish, I would just look at it with longing. And after a while, the homeowner would notice and say, "Oh, would you like some candy, Jimmy?" And I'd say, "Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you." I was told it was polite to turn things down in case people weren't sincere in their offer. So I would continue to stare. And they'd say, "Here, Jimmy, have some candy." And when they insisted, then it was mine. Mine. I'm telling you that even though I believed with my head that it was true about Jesus and all of that, I behaved like every selfish, unconverted person on earth. Bent on getting my own way, doing my own thing. But one night as I was lying in bed, it suddenly occurred to me, even though I've known about Jesus my whole life, I have never responded to him. I've never asked him to save me. If I died tonight, I'd go to hell. So, Pastor Wood, that seems a little extreme. No, it's not extreme at all. It's the truth. It's the fact. I really was a sinner, like every single one of us. I had sinned by being dishonest, selfish, disobedient, prideful, and I deserved God's wrath. Because God, unlike the rest of us, is perfect. And we are not some independent beings. We are part of his creation. And we are entirely dependent on him. And yet I was living as if I was dependent on me. I was figuring this out. I was making my way. I was learning how to get along. And suddenly I realized I had never come to him and asked him to have mercy on me, to forgive me for my sins, and to save me. And so I did. Then and there, in that bed, I prayed. And I asked him to please forgive my sins and save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. And you know how I know? He promised. And he always keeps his promises.
Folks, with current events, many of us are realizing all the more that our time on earth is temporary. While I have many on my heart that I pray will surrender to Jesus, I'm beginning to get very excited about soon spending forever with him. Can you relate? If you're like many of us who are rethinking our wills, I'd like to ask you to consider leaving a gift to support the kids at Wares Valley Ranch. We have a program called Legacy 145. It's based on Psalm 145:4. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. If participating in something that will pass on the gospel to future generations after you're in heaven interests you, go to wvr.org and click on the icon for Legacy 145. That's wvr.org and click on the Legacy 145 button. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
When he saved me, instantly I became a humble, unselfish person. No. I'm still a work in progress. I'm going to be 67 very soon. And apparently the Lord is not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. But I'll tell you this, I'm more humble than I was when I was young, and I'm less selfish than when I was young. And I'm more honest than when I was young. God is in the process of changing me from the inside out, but I'm not going to be saved on the basis of my track record, my performance. My salvation is in Jesus Christ. He's the only one who saves. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way. I'm one of the ways. I'm the best way. He said, I'm the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. There is no real eternal life, abundant life, apart from him. And all the things that claim to be truth are measured by him, because he does not change, and he is pure truth. That's how I know I can trust him. He doesn't lie. He doesn't deceive us. When he says something in his word, I can count on it. And so, I'm going to be saved on the basis of Jesus' perfection, his righteousness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in case anybody wasn't sure if he really meant that in the literal sense of literal, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, what about somebody who believes this instead, but they're really sincere? Well, they are really sincerely wrong. Well, but what if they're basically a good person? They're not. They're just like you. And you're not basically a good person either. Well, don't say that about me. You don't even know me. Hey, I can tell you're human. And all humans have a sin problem. Wherever they live in the world, young, old, rich, poor, whatever language they speak, whatever religion they follow, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not a problem that some people have. It's our problem. I had a group of protesters who decided to attack our church when I pastored in Atlanta. They put on a protest outside. And I spoke with one of their leaders to say, you know, help me understand what you're upset about. And this woman said, you're saying that we're sinners. And I said, oh, I am so sorry. Let me clarify. I'm saying that we're sinners. Okay? I said, I'm not saying anything about you that I'm not saying about me. When I was a kid in elementary school, someone got the clever idea to use a big word to try and embarrass people. You know what they'd say? This is back in a day when people still could be embarrassed. They'd look at somebody and they'd say, oh, your epidermis is showing. And people would go, you know what your epidermis is? What? It's your skin. Everybody's skin is showing. Okay? But people were very embarrassed. Because, now, some of you are going to go back home and try that on your younger siblings. Don't do that. That's not nice. But when people were told, you know, your epidermis is showing, they thought you were saying something special about them, that they had something to try and cover up. Folks, all of us have sinned. All of us need salvation. Jesus is the only one who saves. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mankind by which we must be saved. He's the only way. In 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6, It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. There's only one, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. He paid the ransom. We sang about it this morning. This is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. Now, I'm telling you, I heard that message, I believed it was true, but I didn't act on it. Earlier this week, I asked if there was anybody who wanted to work on memorizing all the books of the Bible, being able to say them in one breath. Did anybody get that done this week? Wow, did you? Is it done? Have you done it for your counselor? No, okay. Well, you need to do it for somebody else before you come to me. All right? That's just how old and important I am. Okay? Remember, I told you I'm humble. I deserve some kind of credit for that. That's a joke, you see. So nobody earned the 10 bucks. Is that right? Is that right? Nobody earned the 10. Okay. All right. Well, let's see what we can do about that. Let's see. Third row back on this side, three campers in. Is there a camper in the, that would be Will. Let's see, he's not the one. So let's go to the next row that has campers in it. Three campers in. Okay. All right. Is that right? Oh, these guys were hoping it was going to be them. Sorry, guys. Three rows of campers in. So, young lady, would you be willing to come up here for just a moment? You're doing beautifully. Do you mind being on camera? You don't mind? I'd like to give this to you.
Really?
Really. What did she do? Does she have $10 now? Is that your $10? Say it again. Is that your $10?
Yes, I guess.
You guess?
Yes.
Did I tell you I wanted to give you that?
Yeah.
Did you say really?
Yes.
Did I say yes?
Yes.
Did you then reach out and accept it?
Yes.
So now is that yours?
Yes.
Yes. Hey. Okay. You can go be seated. Now, here's what I want you to understand. She now has $10 that she didn't have just a few minutes ago. Why? Because I said, I want to give this to you, and she wasn't sure if I really meant it, so she asked, really? And I said, yes. And she did what bunches of young people over the years have failed to do initially, and that is she reached out and accepted it. Well done. That was exactly the right thing to do. She did great. But you see, I've done that with lots of young people, and some of them are like, because they're thinking, what's the trick? This is going to come back and burn me. If I reach out for it, he's going to slap my hand, or he's going to say, I didn't mean it, or, you know, I don't know. But she trusted me and took me at my word and received what I was giving. That's exactly what we're supposed to do with God. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, whosoever will may come. He says, now is the day of salvation. He offers us eternal life, forgiveness for our sins. Now, all I can give you is $10, okay? Jesus can give you the forgiveness of all your sins and eternal life with him forever. But if you just stand there and say, really? Really? I don't know. I'm not sure. You're not going to have it. Not till you receive it. Thank you for receiving my gift. Jesus is offering eternal life to all who will believe him and reach out and say, Lord, save me. I have no hope but you. I believe you died for me. The thief who was hanging on the cross didn't say, Jesus, if you'll get me down off this cross, I will work for you. I'll do good things. He knew he was dying, and he knew he deserved it. But he asked Jesus to save him. He said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He didn't understand it all, but he knew Jesus, in spite of dying on that cross, was still Lord. And he knew that Jesus' kingdom was still going to happen. And he wanted Jesus to have mercy on him. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this day you'll be with me in paradise. If you trust in Jesus, asking him to save you, not just to forgive you, but to save you. You understand the difference? If I'm just forgiven and I keep on doing the same stuff, that's really not going to help me because sin is deadly. It's awful. The reason God says don't do this and don't do that is because he loves us and he knows that that stuff destroys lives. And so Jesus needs to save us. That means not only forgive us, but change us and be our boss, our king, our owner, our master. Have you asked him to do that for you? You can. Just like this young lady said, really? And when I said yes, she believed and she received the gift. That's what I did years ago, and it changed everything. That's what I pray that many of you will do. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never really recognized that you deserve God's wrath, but that Jesus took your place, I pray that you will do that and that you will call out to him to save you, because he will, because he loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us when we didn't love you. Thank you so much for being willing to take our place, our punishment, the wrath we deserved. And thank you that because you paid our debt in full, we don't have to be afraid any longer. Because your grace sweeps over us. You make us clean. You make us new. And in Jesus, we have forgiveness and eternal life. I pray your blessing on these young people. I pray, Lord God, you know everything about each one of them. You know how many hairs are on top of our heads right now. Every detail is known to you, Lord. You know the future. I pray that you would raise up from this group devoted followers of you who will serve you well and share your love with others. I pray that you would protect them from evil and that you'd give them a heart to follow you. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.